John Howard's brilliant strategy for selling a goods and services tax to the nation back in 1998 was to declare that every penny would go to the states and territories and help even out the wealth of the nation. Under a complicated formula, those that needed more would get more. And that's how it worked for nearly 20 years, until Western Australia jacked up, rolling in revenue from royalties and GST earned on iron ore. WA was delivering two-thirds of the GST earned there to the rest of the Commonwealth, two-thirds. To the politicians of Perth, that smacked of robbery. So they pressured Scott Morrison to guarantee they would never have to hand over more than a quarter of their GST. And Canberra guaranteed the other states and territories would be no worse off as a result. And that has been hugely expensive. Though Western Australia was still rolling in revenue from its iron mines, Anthony Albanese extended the deal in 2024. By the time the deal now expires in 2029, it looks as if it'll cost the Commonwealth $60 billion. It's a scandal Shane Wright, senior economics correspondent for The Age and the Sydney Morning Herald, has been covering from the very beginning. Shane, welcome to Late Night Live.
It feels like my life has just raced before my ears and eyes there, David, with that explanation.
I had to boil it right down, mate. Right down. Now tell me, why did Morrison do this deal? Surely it must have been clear to him and his advisers that this was going to cost major cash.
I wish I could say that was true, but that is not what was what was going through the minds of Scott Morrison and his advisors going back all those years, because we have to go step back a little bit of time, because in 2014, 2015, the resources construction boom that had kept WA afloat for so long, which had pushed like house prices in a place like Port Hedland were actually higher than they were in Sydney, so much money, and it just stopped. The state went into a recession for 2 years. But because of this really complicated GST allocation system, the amount of GST that the state was getting back was actually collapsing. So huge holes in the state budget. The Premier at the time, Colin Barnett, decided he and his government had been complaining for a very long time and had effectively been budgeting that the system would get fixed, and no one was fixing it for him. So he'd put up some pretty tough decisions himself. Ramped up the political pressure, and both Labor and the Liberal Party were looking at different options. Bill Shorten had come up with his own plan, which was effectively just to give extra money to the state to help build stuff. Scott Morrison looked at something to be a bit more permanent, which made sense. He'd got the Productivity Commission to actually look at ways to change the whole allocation system. It came up with a plan, and on the same day that that report was released, Morrison put up his own proposal, which he thought would be better than what the PC had come up with. And it starts to unravel on that very first day. And
you were a reporter at the time.
I was the economics editor for the West Australian. So I've become a poacher turned gamekeeper when it comes to GST over the years. And on that day, the assumption that, and this has been part of the federal budget problem for a very long time, there was always this assumption that iron ore prices would fall, reality would return to the West Australian economy, and the problems in the GST allocation system would actually disappear. The problem was, and I wrote at the time, said, what happens if iron ore prices don't fall? It's been great for the federal economy for ever since, but it really caused huge problems to this system, which was all better predicated on iron ore prices fall, WA's GST amount will recover. Instead, it went the other way, and so it blew out the entire new system that Morrison had put in place.
By blowing out, what do you mean?
Well, let's say the first 4 years of it were supposed to cost about $2.4 billion. It was closer to $12 to $14 billion. And ever since, this is why we're getting to by 2028, 2029, the cost of this thing is now will be about $60 billion, and that's $60 billion that both sides of politics seem to have signed up to and thinking, oh, well, that's the price of doing business with Western Australia at the moment.
So is your view that this hugely expensive boondoggle is set in stone?
Politically, given the importance of Western Australia to both sides of politics, it's not that long ago, and we're going back to when, say, the 2016 and the 2013 elections, Labor was down to just three seats in Western Australia. Now they have a majority of them, and the Liberal Party there's Andrew Hastie and three other seats all outside of Perth. Perth is controlled by the Labor Party as well as Independent Teal Kate Chaney. So the politics of it have changed so much. Inside the power of the West Australian Liberal Party, inside the Federal Liberal Party for years, they had a very loud voice. The loudest was, of course, Matthias Cormann and Julie Bishop, but they also had a very large Senate presence, and they were great for bankrolling the Federal Liberal Party. So much money came out of Perth, out of the mining and gas sector, and that has also disappeared. But it's now also as huge importance to Anthony Albanese, who often remarks how often he flies over to Perth to talk to the local voters over there. And it's become a really important stronghold to the Labor Party at a federal level, not least, and not, of course, what's gone on with, say, Roger Cook, the state premier, Mark McGowan, who effectively wiped away the Liberal Party over there as well. So it's the politics are really important to this whole deal as well.
On ABC Radio National, this is Late Night Live. I'm David Marr, and I'm talking to Shane Wright, senior economics correspondent for The Age and the Sydney Morning Herald, about one of the great boondoggles of Australia, the topped-up GST scheme that favours West Australia alone. And Shane is going to cost us, you reckon, about $60 billion in its current iteration, but there's no sign that it's going to be stopped after 2029.
No, that's right. And you can see right now, like you mentioned in your intro, how Anthony Albanese has extended this already. One of the key elements of the whole deal is that no other state can be left worse off because so much money has been flowing to Western Australia. And that's the actual real cost of the deal now. That's what's blowing out. I think even since December, until we got an update from the Commonwealth Grants Commission on how much money has to be allocated out, the cost of it for the coming years probably going to be more than $6.5 billion in the coming financial year. 3 months ago, it was supposed to be 5.8. So what's an extra $700 million between friends?
Exactly, exactly. I mean, if it costs that to keep West Australia friendly, it's just the price perhaps that has to be borne. But Shane, there are other states and territories in the Commonwealth. Now, they are not, quote, losing out, close quotes, because Western Australia is getting this fabulous top-up every year, but they must be furious. Who are the losers here?
Well, apart from you, me, and every other federal taxpayer, the states like New South Wales, Queensland, Victoria, they have been identifying a problem with this. Well, for the last 6 or 7 years, they've been saying this whole system has to change. They've been placated a little bit by Anthony Albanese saying we're going to extend the deal out to 2029. And it seems very difficult to imagine a situation where either side of politics says we'll tear it up. So you're continuing it on. What we've really seen the last year, especially driven by New South Wales and by Queensland and Victoria, is just how opaque the entire system is. You've not used the term horizontal fiscal equalisation, but
strangely, Shane, I haven't. But you have.
It's a term that rolls off my tongue.
Justify yourself.
That's right. This is the whole concept. And look, we're going back in time. Joe Lyons was the Prime Minister when this sort of this concept of making sure that if a child is born in Tassie, they've got the same chance of getting relatively the same quality of healthcare, police protection, education as someone born in Victoria, someone born in Western Australia. That underpins the entire GST allocation system. And we're very unusual in that regards compared to other states. Say if you go into the United States, you don't want to be born in Arkansas or Mississippi, for instance, relative to other states which will have much better health and education systems. We made a decision going back to the 1930s, no, we want a bit of equality. That's the Australian way. Now we get to where we are today, and states like New South Wales and Queensland are saying the system is so complicated to make sure the money is spread evenly that it's beyond comprehension. And I'll give you a really good example, which really upset New South Wales last year. The Australian Bureau of Statistics effectively carves up the country and regions into smaller areas. And what happened in 2025 is that the definition of Coffs Harbour, the city on the with the big banana on the center, the north coast of New South Wales, it went from being designated an outer regional centre to an inner regional centre.
And that
change cost New South Wales $200 million in GST, just that simple definition, because the way that the money is carved up in the minds of the Commonwealth Grants Commission, it's slightly easier to provide services like education, health, policing to an inner regional centre than it is to an outer regional centre.
So the needs are less. The needs are less.
That's right. Coffs Harbour didn't move, but a line defining of where it is in part of a statistical definitional area did change, and it came at a cost of $200 million. You can understand while the New South Wales Treasurer, Daniel Mookie, gets a little bit peeved with how the system works.
Then why isn't there effective pressure to address the formula?
That's a very good question. Some states have been really pushing it, and all of them really know that there's problems with it. Western Australia for years has complained that the gambling dens of Victoria and New South Wales, they are not and we know that there are social problems that get caused by gambling. They don't get penalised. Western Australia doesn't allow, apart from one site, doesn't allow gambling. So they've always argued, look, the GST system skews money away from, like, penalises us because we've made a decision not to have pokies everywhere that you can lay a couple of coins. Whereas Victoria and New South Wales, they've made that choice. It causes problem, but they want the revenue. So those sorts of things have been going on for a very long time. But I challenge anyone to really understand how the Commonwealth Grants Commission process really works. And for most people out there, they don't really care. They just see, well, money needs to be allocated. Let's do it in a simple way. But this is the system we have.
You're a man in despair, Shane.
I'm a happy man in despair. That's
$60 billion by 2029, set in stone, no real prospect of it being changed. Is this the greatest single economic rort in Australia?
Look, I was at the National Press Club when Peter Costello said anyone who gets to, 65 doesn't have to pay tax on their superannuation. That still sits in my mind as like you've made a tax system reward people who had the lucky chance to get to 65. I think that's pretty dodgy. But this one, you can see the problems. You can see it has an impact on people, but the political system at a federal level doesn't want to change. And even amongst the states, they want change, but they're competing against each other over they're the dogs chasing after like a cat. They're chasing them each way. They're not working as a team. They're running the cat up one tree, up another tree, across someone's fence.
I think you're being kind to Canberra, seeing it as an agile cat. But look, I think we'll leave it there,
okay,
Shane, because
you
have done nothing to cheer us up.
Didn't know that's what you brought me on for, to cheer you up. But,
we're trying to.
Look, there's a little bit of, there's a tiny little bit of hope, and that's
what?
The Productivity Commission is currently reviewing the entire system. It will produce a report by year's end. And it will be the, like, we know the Productivity Commission will put up a report, and what it absolutely will surely do will say, don't continue the system we've got. We have to come up with a better system.
We'll get you back when the report comes out, okay?
Well, and I'll hope to cheer up you and your listeners a bit more than I did tonight.
And yourself. Shane, thanks for joining us on the show.
Not a trouble, David. Have a good night.
I've been talking to Shane Wright, Senior Economics Correspondent for The Age and the Sydney Morning Herald, about the peculiar GST deal of Western Australia, which is only costing the rest of us $60 billion.